This is a Shortwave America commentary. I'm Dan Hensley. Recently, Keith Perron of PCJ Radio spoke for about an hour to an old technician friend of his at China Radio International who works in their frequency department. He told Keith that they have had three meetings to discuss what they will do if the Sackville transmitter site closes. He then said as of yet they have not had any official word from RCI. One option if it does close is to stop broadcasting to North America and focus more attention on buying up airtime on local AM and FM stations. Part of the move to do this is from studies that were done by the Foreign Ministry showing that over 80% of the letters and emails received by CRI between January 1, 2010 and December 31, 2011 were from DXers and not real listeners. In many cases, he said, the station would get five or more a year from the same person. The head of the frequency department said April 18th, if these people don't listen, we don't care. All they want is something for sending in a reception report, which we don't need. He also told Keith that last year, someone at the Chinese embassy in Washington was asked to write a report/profile on the DXer. Let's just say it was not flattering. It should be mentioned here that this was a profile on the North American DXers. DXers in the South and Southeast Asia were also prepared by the Chinese embassies in India, Pakistan, Indonesia, and Malaysia. They had a different profile. The profile of those in developing nations was that of regular people. These were sent to the top leadership at CRI and to the Foreign Ministry, the State Administration of Film, Radio, and Television, and then the Ministry of Propaganda, finally sent off to the Central Committee of the Communist Party. The result was less than happy faces. On April 17, 2012, Keith received an email from the Link program over at Radio Canada International from an email address stated as thelink@rcinet.ca. In that email, the following words were said. I think one of the reasons that shortwave is dying around the world is due to DXers themselves. Over the many years, I have seen thousands of reception reports from DXers who merely list the technical details and very, very little about the shows themselves, other than perhaps to say, I enjoyed it. Perhaps if DXers had become more interested in actually listening to the content and commenting on it specifically rather than just the prime concern of collecting QSLs, then in addition to that, they should be commenting more directly on the content, also writing to the various countries' governments expressing thanks or otherwise expressing comment about the things they have learned from or about the particular country. It would show the governments that shortwave broadcasting is a useful tool, that it is being listened to and reaching a wide and far-flung audience. For shortwave broadcasters, it is virtually impossible to quantify their listening audience, as such, justify to the respective governments that the public money invested is being well spent and is useful to the country in terms of their opinions, viewpoints, technical/scientific offerings, and innovations in culture. A shortwave broadcaster can say from reception reports, we are being heard in country X by a certain number of listeners, only the exact number of letters, with a good signal. This does not indicate to a government that the message is being heard. The stories, the intangible goodwill generated by such broadcasts, only that someone heard the signal long enough to qualify for a QSL. Governments need to see a benefit to the money they spend. Shortwave services have always had some difficulty showing this. DXers should get involved in the programs and express to these various national governments directly the benefits such expense brings to their government and the country in regards to business, immigration, education, science, and culture. QSL requests do not and have not helped broadcasters to survive. At this point, it seems like there's a whole lot of complaining going on and not a whole lot of relationship building. Everybody's complaining, but yet no one's coming to the table with answers. The only answer so far is to get rid of shortwave broadcasts and focus on the local audience, to use other technologies such as internet broadcasting and other things that rely on the grid. So here's where the Shortwave America commentary begins. Radio Taiwan International, also known as RTI, has designed an official monitor program and has encouraged listeners to form clubs. Any avid listener who sends in reception reports and comments on a regular basis is qualified to become an official monitor. However, due to budget restraints, only one monitor from each region can be selected. The selected period is usually at the end of each year, and monitors are required to send in at least 3 reception reports per month beginning in January of the following year. Unfortunately, RTI is unable to send IRCs to help cover postage because they cannot be obtained in Taiwan, since Taiwan is not a member of the Universal Postal Union. This is what RTI says about their listeners' clubs. RTI has always put a great emphasis on listeners' letters. To create closer ties with its worldwide listeners, RTI has encouraged the establishment of listeners' clubs over the past few years. Our listeners' clubs can be found in Delhi and Kolkata, India, in Tokyo and Osaka, Japan, in Berlin and Otonou, Germany, in Kuala Lumpur and Sabah, Malaysia, in Bangkok, Thailand, and in Bangladesh. We believe RTI can improve its efforts in international broadcasting by building stronger ties with listeners. The model of public relations with DXers created and practiced by RTI is just one piece of evidence that the profile created in Washington by the Chinese embassy is misleading and unjust. Let me be clear, there is nothing wrong with stations performing an audience survey to obtain information about what listeners are paying attention to, what they want to hear, and which demographic groups those listeners fall into. However, when you create a profile on a certain group of listeners and then use that skewed information to make business decisions without asking what else can be done to create real listeners out of those whom the station looks upon with such indifference, is tantamount to professional suicide versus reaching out to those listeners such as RTI has done. The truth is that you have QSL card chasing DXers, and you have DXers who actually listen to content and then log your station without you ever hearing from them because they realize what a gift they have in being able to hear news, stories, and music from faraway places. The content provided over shortwave bands is not content that will be found via the media where most people live. If DXers were to be smart about QSL chasing, they would create a shortwave listener bureau whereby they can confirm what they heard with each other, and their own organization can then send that listener a confirmation card instead of the station having to give away free swag to those who are not truly listening to content. For those who are not really content listeners and who are just interested in the technical sciences of communications, let me be honest with you. CRI was correct. They don't need your technical reports. They know how their equipment is functioning, and they know they are being heard the world over. If people are going to listen to shortwave broadcasts, listen for the enjoyment of hearing voices from distant lands. Learn about the culture you are hearing over the air. Learn about their customs and their daily lives. Maybe even take an interest in their language. If you are going to write in to a shortwave service, write to them with substantial thoughts on their program offerings. Use what you hear and what you learn to go out into your communities and strike up friendships with the people of the culture you're most interested in, and then consider making a visit to their country to see it for yourselves. This is how real relationships in the world are made. For some, shortwave listening is a way to travel in the mental sense because some people do not have the funding or the physical ability to get out and actually travel. Those of you just chasing confirmation cards and freebies are making a mockery out of radio and creating an image for the rest of the listening community that is poor. To the various shortwave broadcasters, I say this. Shortwave radio has a reach and a power that cannot be underestimated. Taking your shortwave service off the air may save you some money, and you may be able to choose some of the newer technology, such as internet streaming, mobile application streaming, or local AM and FM. But remember that relying on something on the grid is never a smart move. Keeping your wonderful offerings away from the rest of the world because of a few boneheads out here deprives genuine listeners whom you don't hear from. You won't hear from each and every one of your listeners, and there are various reasons for that. But rest assured, they are listening and enjoying what you're programming. Radio Free Asia recognizes that there are days and nights when radio propagation isn't the best, and so the quality of the broadcast suffers, but the human ear tunes itself in to what that person is trying to hear. In a case like this, internet streaming can be a handy tool for your station only if the listeners have internet access, which isn't always available in every country or in every region of a country. This has been a Shortwave America commentary. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again later. 73s and 88s were applicable.